Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Renee's Heart to Heart. This is Renee, and I'm glad you joined us. This morning, I have a whole bunch of little discussions that I'd like to have. The past several days, we've talked about drug use in teens and how to help, where to go, what a parent should do. Still all up in the air. I don't think we've been able to really solve any problems, which is a disappointment, but it's also a problem that's been going on for a very, very, very long time. My kids are all grown, and my oldest is 45, my youngest is 40, and I went through all these things with them. And to be honest with you, there are more choices today. There are more knockoffs from different drugs and different addictions that are out there for kids. But the story hasn't changed much. What's that they used to say on Dragnet? Only the names have changed to protect the not-so-innocent. So it opens up the door, though, to something that's happening tonight that I was hoping I was going to get to, and it looks like I'm not going to be able to do that. But I believe Shelley and another member of our team is going to go to the debate tonight about marijuana. And I'm hoping that later this week or next week we can discuss the legalization of marijuana. We're going to open up that conversation a little bit today as well. But before we go there, I have to tell everybody about this story that I found late last night on the internet. And I have such mixed emotions. It is about a Florida cop that tasers a handcuffed girl who took off running, beautiful young girl. And here's the story, and then we're going to talk about this a little bit. A Florida police officer, 267-pound trooper Daniel Cole, was recently cleared of any wrongdoing by the Florida Department of Law Enforcement. Questions were raised when he tasered a 20-year-old handcuffed girl in the back as she fled. The tasering was caught on video showing Officer Cole firing the taser at the handcuffed Danielle Maudsley. Maudsley was a mere 100 pounds. While Cole outweighed her at 2.5 times her weight, she was clearly no threat to him, unless he expected to die from exhaustion chasing her a few yards. The encounter took place last September at the Florida Highway Patrol Pinellas Park substation. As Maudsley fled, the tasering prevented her from catching herself as her muscles involuntarily seized up. As a result, she fell to the concrete and bashed her head. She suffered severe brain damage and has been in a persistent vegetative state ever since. The video below shows Maudsley fleeing a back door of the substation with Officer Cole following closely behind, with absolutely no need to taser her. It is clear that he only did this to inflict physical punishment on the small 20-year-old. She was allegedly arrested for her involvement in two hit-and-run crashes and driving without a license. After Cole brought her to the substation to complete his paperwork before taking her to the Pinellas County Jail, she entered the parking lot and she tried to make a run for it. What were you thinking? What are you, stupid? Cole can be heard asking Maudsley on the video. I can't get up, said Maudsley. I don't want you to get up, said Cole. I can't get up, Maudsley said again, the last words Maudsley has spoken since being tasered. Maudsley's mother said Cole should have used other means besides the taser to stop her daughter. He was right behind her. He could have reached out. It was unnecessary. Defense attorney Kevin Haislett was hired to pursue charges against the department. Haislett said Cole violated his department's taser policy, which says clearly that fleeing cannot be the sole reason for the deployment of the taser. When you shoot someone in the back and they are running away, all that force, as you saw when Danielle's head hit the concrete, that's why they don't allow you to do that, because you can have horrible tragedies like this. Mosley's mother said early on that the prognosis is not good for her daughter. Mosley remained at a Fort Lauderdale rehab center, which specializes in severe brain injuries, and remained in a vegetative state until she died last month. Spread the word about this police abuse of power. These rogue cops can only get away with these abuses if we allow them to. So, lots of, I don't know what I want to say about this, lots of controversy over this, and I'm sure you can understand why. I'm going to open up so Shelley can participate in this conversation. On the internet. Good morning, Shelley. How are you?
Good morning, Rainey.
On the internet, lots of comments about this, pro and con. And, of course, everybody's instinct is to hate the cop, commiserate with the loss of another 20-year-old, and understand that when you hold all the power, it's not necessary to use it all, if you know what I mean. And you've already got a kid handcuffed, and even if they are running, I mean, my goodness. So it is about the ability, which everybody doesn't have, by the way, to handle the power that you hold. A lot of people, of course, hate the cop, think he's an asshole. And, of course, you heard the report honing in on his size. I watched the video. He doesn't appear to be enormous. He's a big man compared to this little woman, but he wasn't like 267 pounds. It sounds like some great big enormous a sumo wrestler or something, and that's not what he looked like. But again, for me, as I hate to generalize like this, but this was kind of an accident again, but it is all about proper training and knowing what you can do and what you can't do. How do you feel about this, Shelley?
Well,
the video is terrible because she's only feet away from him. And he tases her, and it just, like throws her right to the ground. And her hands are cuffed behind her, so she can't stop from, you know, just smacking right down on her head.
Well, see, my problem with this whole thing is it sounds like the crimes she committed were pretty awful. You know, hit and runs and things like that. They didn't say if anybody got injured or whatever. But that's an extremely reckless crime. So obviously she's someone who doesn't have a real regard for other people in the same token. So I'm saying that because I can see how this cop may have been like just completely frustrated with her lack of respect for people. But in the same token, he has a high responsibility as well to follow the rules. I can't believe that he would not have been trained not to taser somebody in the back unless there are extreme circumstances, like the person running away has a gun and they might shoot somebody. But if you've got somebody handcuffed, you don't shoot them in the back. I mean, that's like mind-boggling to me that he even thought that was the correct thing to do. So I don't really have much sympathy for the cop at that point. If she was that close and he's a cop, cops are supposed to be able to run. He should have run and grabbed her, collared her, and brought her back in. But to taser her shows some sort of laziness or cruelty on my part. He either didn't feel like running or he he has a cruel streak in him, and then he says, I'm going to teach her a lesson type of thing. And that neither one of those things are okay for a cop to do. So I can't
right.
really see a legitimate reason for him tasering her other than something either going against his training or a cruel streak. And either way, it puts him in a bad light to me, and especially because of the catastrophic injury she sustained, which are exactly why the rule exists, not to shoot somebody fleeing in the back.
Well, and it's, you know, and we've, God knows, we've talked about this so many times. When you expect or when you accept specific responsibilities, there's a certain amount of training, reliability, responsibility, all these kind of things that enter in to who you are and what you can do. I mean, we've
right.
talked about with government. We've talked about this with bosses in the workplace. We've talked about this with parents. And let's face it, not all of us handle what we refer to as our accepted responsibilities very well. And can we all make excuses for this cop on this day because we're grown-ups? Yeah, I think we probably can. We can all think to ourselves, like you just said, she was being a brat. I mean, she's very tiny, very beautiful. It's heartbreaking, to say the least. But it's another, for me, it's almost like the Trayvon Martin case. And I don't condone, what's his name there, that shot Trayvon Martin either. But can I explain in my head to myself where they are both going? I'm afraid I can. And I would like to think I wouldn't do that. I would like to think that if I had the taser in my hand and she was running, I'd think about the fact that she's handcuffed. Where the hell is she going to go? I might have even stood there and laughed if I'd have been really on top of my game that day. But what if I wasn't on top of my game that day? What if she'd already, you know, been disrespectful and I knew all the things she did and I was sure she did them? I don't know. Do you know whether or not you'd be able to control your impulse to just stop her dead in her tracks?
Yeah,
I'm not
actually
sure.
I do. Because when things like that happen, I'm different than a lot of people. I always see, because something happened yesterday which proved it to me, I just do this. I always see 10 seconds forward. So if I had the impulse to taser somebody, they're running away from me, I would instantly see them falling and smashing their face, and it would prevent me from doing it. That's just the type of person I am. I always flash forward 10 seconds when I'm about to make a decision. Even in a crisis, this has happened to me. And for him to have that kind of training and not realize that she was going to smash down on the ground, it shows to me a little lack of concern on his part for, I mean, she didn't kill anybody, regardless of what she was doing. And even if she did, you're still not supposed to mistreat somebody who's being taken into custody, you know. But what I'm reacting to is that he was cleared of any wrongdoing. I don't understand how that's possible. I don't understand how the police department cleared him of any wrongdoing when he did do something wrong. He went against their policy, tasered somebody that was not in a position to do anything. So, you know, pursue her and get her back. So I don't understand how he was cleared of wrongdoing. I'm a little frustrated with that judgment. I'm not saying he should have been fired or lost his job, but he certainly should have been found that he handled that wrong, because what's going to prevent the next cop from being that cavalier?
I go along with that 100%. And I think that if you want to discuss the right and wrong of it, I mean, you know, hands down, he shouldn't have done that. Hands down, she shouldn't have done that. Both of them made very costly mistakes that day, and you're right. There should be some repercussions to this police officer for not, like I said, If you accept certain responsibilities, which you do when you become a policeman or a state trooper or anybody like that, that's a big, big responsibility. And if you have a tendency to have a short fuse or the inability to, like you just said, think ahead 10 seconds, which is imperative in a position like that, then you shouldn't be one of those people. But as always, I suspect that either more came out from this than what has been reported to us. I cannot understand either, Shelley, why this person hasn't lost their job. Think he should be hung at sunrise, but I think there should be something done to this person for this, I don't know, the inability to control himself when he's got something in his hands that can cause harm. I mean, he carries a gun, too, you know, and, of course, that's what happened to Trayvon Martin. So all of these things, again, turn to the same subject that we've talked about so many times, and that is, you know, being properly trained and know what you can do. You know, as I'm scrolling down here, there's a lot. These replies, when you read in these stories, I don't know if you've ever done this, but there's always comments from other people. Somebody writes, "You mean they do this stuff to white folks too? Oh, no. Now ain't that a shame. Oh, boy." And then comments to that person. On the basis of one quote, that kind of logic is what got this girl killed. Now she was no model citizen, but this punishment, and it was indeed and obviously punishment, certainly did not fit any alleged crimes. Perhaps the police officer knew she could outrun his fat butt and was concerned about the blow to his ego. Funny, I'm black Hispanic, and I was about to say the exact same thing. That goes back to the report, "You mean they do this to white folks too?" And then there's some profanity from these lovely people. He's not right. People of all colors go through dangerous and unnecessary profiling. Well, that's a very true statement. This girl may have been white, but that doesn't mean she wasn't profiled for the way she may have dressed, where she may have lived, her poverty level, or who she associates with. To sit there and say that only people of other races get profiled as narrow-minded and just bigoted as the cops who do the profile, period.
No, I agree with that.
He basically murdered her, sickening, and got away with it. It will just keep happening. Police torture and violence needs to stop. Police stations allowing cops to walk free after brutally murdering kids has got to stop. I'm so sorry for this family. How heartbreaking and tragic. It was clearly close enough. He was clearly close enough to grab her with his hands, and I'm pretty sure he was in no danger of being overpowered by a 100-pound girl. So why was she tased? And she was running away from him, not towards him, so he was not being attacked. This is sad. The taser was unnecessary. Look at how close he is to her when they first come into view. He could have just grabbed her. That's all. If you saw the video, I mean, it's like three steps away from him. She is maybe three steps.
Wow.
If you watch the video, it's even more upsetting because they're right. She's right there, and she's little itty-bitty tiny. He could have grabbed a hold of the back of her arm and stopped her from going anyplace. But the point here is it's not just this incident. It's the fact that, like many of those people just said, it's becoming more and more obvious that, again, everybody that's out there today is struggling with something. Every walking, talking, alive person has got issues in their own private life. They have things that are going through their head. They have things that take their attention away from the problem at hand or the task at hand when they're doing their jobs, because our world has become so convoluted with problems and issues. There's people, obviously, with many money woes. There's people with personal problems, with spouses, with children. Everything we've talked about this week has been about parents dealing with kids that are on drugs and they don't know where to turn and they don't know how to help them. One of those people that's trying to do a job, like be a cop or be a judge or be a doctor or be a caring nurse, how are they supposed to function in those jobs when their head is filled with all the personal challenges that are going on in their life? And this is what we talk about every day. It's really what we talk about every day. And very sadly, it's not an excuse, because there is no excuse for taking another person's life or losing your temper and punching your six-month-old child because they won't stop crying, or shooting your mother because she won't let you take the car. But all these things are happening, aren't they? All these things are happening out there in the world. But if you sit back and look at it as a big picture, you kind of get the gist of what's going on. So what do we tell people on how to separate what's going on in their own mind and the job they're doing? What kind of advice do you give to somebody like that, Shelley? A guy that's a cop and is stressed, or all the other stuff that may be going on in his life, or maybe he's already made a mistake being a law enforcement officer, and he knows that he's made a mistake. And then he's in a position to reach out and stop this girl or taser her. Bad decisions, really bad choices and bad decisions. But can we understand that the world is in such chaos with everything that's going through everybody's head that they do stupid things? I don't have any answers for this, but I do realize that that's what's going on. Shell? I hate it when I lose her like that and I don't even know that she's not there.
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yeah. I can hear you now.
Yeah, this phone for some reason only holds the call for about 15 minutes, and then I can't hear you, so I always have to call back in. So then you got to unmute me so you can hear me.
Well, I didn't even know that. It didn't even show that to me. Usually it tells me the minute the call is dropped, but you stayed right. You never came off my dashboard, so that's weird. So,
this
but you get my point, I'm not making excuses. I'm just stating a fact.
Right, but see, the whole thing is that I think there are answers to that. I think that the answer is that people have to start taking responsibility for what they do. I don't care if you take a job as a dishwasher or somebody that sweeps the floor, or you're a brain surgeon or a police officer. Every one of those jobs has certain responsibilities, and if you're somebody who's mopping a floor and you don't remember to put out the wet floor sign, well, guess what? You can injure somebody also. It doesn't have to be these higher level risk jobs, okay? Any job, if not done properly, can put somebody else at risk, period, okay? Whether you're making a widget that's going in a toy for a child and you don't use the right material, and now that child, it ends up breaking and the child swallows something. I mean, you've even heard stories about that. So the bottom line is, if you're going to do a job, know what the job entails. This is personal responsibility. This takes it away from the people that are training you. If you're doing a job, know what you're doing. And if you don't understand what you're doing, then ask or go work someplace where somebody's going to teach you properly. I mean, it sounds overly simplistic, but that's what it comes down to. There's no way that cop wasn't taught the rules of tasering. He just chose to ignore them for whatever reason. He let his personal emotions towards this girl overtake his training. because I cannot believe that he didn't know that you shouldn't taser somebody in the back. And the funny part about it is I'm not a police officer. I've never been trained in tasering anybody, but I got to tell you, I would never taser somebody in the back because of what I told you a few minutes ago, because I would realize that that person would fall forward on their face. How could they not? You lose control of your body, and you're in a forward motion with your hands behind your back. You can't break your fall. I mean, that realization is just common sense. That comes to me instantaneously. So how does somebody that's been trained for that not assess that instantly and not make that decision? So he let his emotions get away with him, and that's one of the problems with the world today. People think with emotions instead of with their intellect when they have to make judgment calls, and that's what's wrong, because they'll have specific training and they set it aside. Sometimes it's a lack of training. In this particular case, I don't believe it was. In this particular case, I think that cop was just pissed off and let his emotions get in the way. He wanted to teach her a lesson without realizing that the training was there for a reason. And he is responsible for her death completely, in my mind, anyway.
What do you think should happen to him? Shell?
I struggle with that because I would hate to – he sounds like a young cop. I would hate to see him lose his job, but he should definitely suffer some dire consequence, financially sanctioned, being made to work the desk for a month. Something should happen to him as a penalty. And one strike, and he ever makes a mistake like that, he loses his job. The fact that she lost her life is what I'm struggling with, because that had a dire consequence, and maybe he should lose his job because of that. You know, his action shows a complete lack of being able to follow the rules. So I struggle with him getting a severe punishment or losing his job completely. I don't know which one of those would be appropriate, but I feel that something severe should happen. For nothing else but to set the stage for the other cops so that they know that this is something they can't be cavalier about.
Well, I think he should absolutely lose his job. Absolutely.
Okay.
Hands down, lose his job. And there should be no, I don't know anything about him. I don't know how long, it doesn't say how long he was a cop. If he's had any commendations, if he's, you know, if he's really, you know, like cop of the year kind of material, the article doesn't tell us that. But I agree with the facts that are like, that's just like pushing somebody that with their hands behind their back. I mean, how old do you have to be before you realize that anything that you push, they can't put their hands out to protect their face, their head, their body.
Exactly.
Is going to be hurt badly. So I agree that he should lose his job. I agree that there should be some very strict ramifications for anybody that takes on the responsibilities of a policeman or anything that has to do with being in a place where you can make decisions that will change somebody's life.
Right, right.
I feel very strongly about that. I just want everybody to understand both sides of the story because I can. I can understand that maybe he's having a crappy day. Maybe his head is overwhelmed with a whole bunch of things that are going on in his personal life. I get that. And that's why I said all the things I said about everything that goes on in our minds and why people do stupid things. But that it still doesn't make it all right. We are supposed to be the highest intellect human beings.
Mm-hmm.
We should be able to deal with all of these challenges, and if we accept a position like a policeman, if you accept a position like a mom or a dad, and you have children that are your responsibility and are in your charge to be kept safe and warm and fed and educated and cared for medically and mentally, then take those responsibilities, regardless of the challenges that come to you. But I do get that there are challenges. I do get that everybody gets up and has a bad day. But it's your job to get past that and work through all the challenges that are going on in your own head personally, if you've accepted a position like that. If you can't deal with the challenges that are going on in your head, then you better stick to washing dishes or sweeping floors or things that don't give you an opportunity to be the last person in that kind of an unfortunate chain of events. If you cannot deal with life itself, then you shouldn't be there. And I don't know, again, the story that I read says two hit and runs. I don't know how somebody gets two hit and runs. Does that mean she was on a joyride and slammed two parked cars? That's what it could mean. Or it could mean that she ran over two pedestrians. A hit and run doesn't give you too much to go on. Or she could have been running away from somebody else. There's lots of things that we don't have answers to with this particular story. But obviously, the act itself is on a video. A really skinny little girl and a big cop. One that's armed with a gun and a taser and his own personal strength. And one that's tiny, tiny, tiny and has her arms and her hands clasped behind her back with handcuffs. Not a very fair fight. That's not a very even Steven kind of scenario to begin with. So obviously, the perpetrator here and the person to blame here, regardless of what happened hours before, was him. He could have stopped that chain of events, and it wouldn't have ended up like that had he made the right decisions. So, awful story. But of course, we see them all the time. And everywhere I look, this morning, Trayvon Martin's family was on the news. Did you have a chance to watch TV this morning, Shel? Shelly.
I'm here. It takes my phone a minute to unmute. No, I did not see their comments.
Yeah, well, the mom was just on the news. And, of course, she's heartbroken. And but again, you know, choices. It's just like something happened to one of my grandchildren this week, and I was upset about it, and they got hurt by some other kids, hurt them, and I yelled at them because it was after 11 o'clock at night, and they were walking around here in the acreage with nobody else with them. And I said, "What are you thinking? When I let you leave here at night, I don't think you're going to be out walking in this dark acreage all by yourself. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard of. I'm not going to feel sorry for you. I'm annoyed and angry that somebody hurt you, obviously. But, you know, talk about putting yourself in a very precarious position. That was dumb on your part. So, again, it's there's many choices involved here. And this young woman, very sadly, made the wrong ones. Trayvon Martin made the wrong ones. George Zimmerman made the wrong ones. But, of course, hindsight is always much clearer than when you're right there in that position.
Right.
So I guess the point here is that we need to take everything we do a lot more and stay a lot more focused if we've got that kind of a job.
Right.
I do want to talk a little bit about what you're doing tonight, and I am sorry. Unless something else happens today, the last couple days for me have been like 1 minute I'm doing this and 5 minutes later I'm doing that. So if something happens and do this class tonight or this seminar tonight. I'd like to be there. But let's talk a little bit about how do you feel about the legalization of marijuana, Shelley? Are you there? I'm going to have to save up and get Shelley a new phone. I can see that. Well, the way I feel about the legalization of marijuana would have a lot to do with how it's monitored, how it's taken care of, and who oversees that legalization. Honestly, my mind has changed through the last 25 years in regard to marijuana. I almost feel like, for some people, it's like a cup of chamomile tea, to be honest with you. If they really know what they're doing, it relaxes them, takes the edge off. We know now that there's medicinal reasons to use marijuana, and there are a lot of states that allow medical marijuana. But it's like everything else. I also mentioned one day on the show that when I was pregnant with my last child, my gynecologist, the man who delivered all my kids, told me I needed to have a glass of red wine every night. And he said, not two, Renee, not three, just one, because you need to relax a little bit and you need to be able to sleep before it's time to give birth to this child. And I remember laughing to myself and thinking to myself, I wonder how many doctors would tell you to have a glass of wine at night. And, of course, through the years, alcohol was used medicinally. There were times when dentists and people like that, that was the only way to alleviate pain for people. So I have mixed emotions about legalizing marijuana, because every time we do something like this, there seems to be so much bureaucracy and red tape and BS that it's never straightforward and never handled with the kind of professionalism that I'd like it to be handled with. And again, I'm not saying that I could do it either. I'm just saying that I expect more of people who sit in those seats. So I do have mixed emotions about it, and my mind has changed over the last 25 years. 25 years ago, I thought it was purely and simply a gateway drug, just like I felt about alcohol and everything else. People that are in search of that feeling of always being okay or happy or relaxed or whatever, you know, they'll go to any extreme that they can. So how do I have you back, Shel?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, well,
how do you feel about the legalization?
I have less mixed emotions about this because of something that happened to me personally. And because of some of the research I've done about marijuana, and I know what it does to the brain, also, let's take glaucoma, for instance. A lot of people use it for that. However, there are programs out there. Martin Sussman has a program out there called Better Eyesight, I think it is. He has particular supplements that even help people with macular degeneration and glaucoma. He's had great results with that, and this is all natural. It doesn't mess with the brain. People that are going through chemotherapy, there are other ways to stimulate the appetite other than using marijuana. So I know that the medical marijuana is touted because it gives people's relief, but there are things out there that can provide that relief also that don't damage the brain. I'm sorry. I'm not okay with marijuana, because I know from a medical standpoint and a scientific standpoint, it creates brain damage. And I don't care. Nobody's ever going to convince me otherwise. I've done too much research on it. It causes a thickening of the neurons to the point where they get the inability to communicate. That's why you get mellowed, okay? It's just like drinking any other. It's like having beer or wine. The reason you get that mellow feeling is because your brain isn't acting right. You're not getting all that connectivity, okay? So it kind of slows you down and mellows you out, which is nice once in a while. But one of the people that I spoke to recently about this, who actually told me about the Great Debate, and obviously they're against legalizing marijuana, I'm curious to see what comes out in the debate tonight, to see if I hear something that I'm not aware of, all right, because I'm always open-minded to these things. All right, so I want to hear this debate because I want to see myself if there's information out there that's new over what I've already heard. I know what my stance is, but I want to hear both sides anyway. And what she was telling me is that California and another state that have legalized marijuana, it has created more problems for them, and they're actually trying to repeal the law now, and they're having a heck of a time repealing it. Once they finally got it legalized, it's just they have people, doctors are now indiscriminately prescribing medical marijuana for people that don't even really need it. I remember watching Judge Judy one time. I get a kick out of that show because she's just, like, so brutal with the people that come into her court. And she's had people in there on medical marijuana that have, like, minor things wrong with them where they could really just take an aspirin, you know. I mean, these people come into her court. I forgot what this one lady had, but it was like you would not need marijuana for it. And Judge Judy reacted to it. She says, this is what's wrong with our country. She says, people pass laws and then nobody monitors to make sure it's even being used properly. She says, I'm telling you right now on national television, you have no business using marijuana. You know, she said it right there. And I had the same reaction because it was like the woman had chronic headaches or something and her doctor prescribed her medical marijuana. Why not find out what's causing her headaches? You know, so it's this kind of a stupid thing. So what she was saying is that the law is being abused. Now the use of marijuana is rampant. Doctors are overprescribing it like they would prescribe any drug, and it's creating a big business of people in the drug industry. And what they're doing is the overflow from producing it for medical marijuana is still making it out to the streets. So it didn't actually solve anything because they're still selling it to people who aren't entitled to getting medical marijuana.
Well, I don't disagree with anything that you just said. I do have, I guess for me, the other side of this issue is the fact that there are some people that would use it properly, just like there are some people who only have that one glass of red wine. There are some people that only take one oxycodone because they have six herniated discs in their back. There are some people who have a bottle of painkillers in their medicine cabinet that they were given because they hurt themselves, and they took two, and the next 3 days later they were feeling all right, so they didn't take the rest of them. There are those people. Then, of course, we have the people that are easily addicted in search of that ever elusive feeling of being wonderful all the time. So they are the ones that are going to abuse it.
Right.
But again, I don't, you know, everything I looked at, I mean, it gives you some statistics. I did a little bit of research on it last night. There's 20 states that have legalized medical use of marijuana, but it's just like you said, it's just like everything else, Shell. It's just like everything else. They also, how many, I think I talked about this one night, I'd have to look through my paperwork to remember the statistics, but remember the night we talked about all the what were they calling them, the pill shops, or remember we talked about how many different places were just giving out prescriptions and all these
oh,
doctors?
Oh, yeah. Yep. And that still goes on today.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's not to the point where it was even 5 years ago. It's a little bit better. But, of course, the people that want it will still, and the people who want to furnish it to make the money will still do it. Some things
yep.
you can't fix and you can't change. Legalization is is one of those elusive words like, you know, responsibility and love. They mean something different to everybody. So, but I don't, the only thing that I see good about legalization of marijuana is that it might bring some more money back into the system and not into the hands of the drug dealers. And even that I wouldn't swear to. But at face value, it appears as though it may help in regard to that. Maybe some honest people could realize the benefits of getting help from the marijuana, and maybe some honest people could receive the benefits of making some additional income by legally selling the marijuana. That's the
right.
only up that I see of it, because you're never going to stop the marijuana.
And then it's the crime out of the way and things like that. You don't have people being hurt over it and things like that. So I get that.
Mm-hmm. That's the only good thing I can see about it, too, because for me it's just another freaking crutch. It's another way to try to feel good when you don't feel good, and it's synthetic. And it's
right.
not, you got to get rid of the problems that are in your head to begin with. Otherwise, it doesn't do any good. The glaucoma
That's why I made the comment that some of the things that I know people say, oh, well, it helps people with this and helps people with that, I already know that there's other options that don't mess with the physical health of the brain that can also give people relief. Like I said, with glaucoma, that's one of the biggest things people talk about. And I already know there's a program there. In fact, maybe we'll talk about that on the show one day, because this Martin Sussman has a remarkable program out there. And a lot of diseases with the eyes that people think are incurable, he's had remarkable results with. So that'll probably be a topic for another day. But the bottom line is, that's a big thing that people always say, oh, well, there's nothing else other than this for people like that. That's not true. There are other options other than marijuana for a lot of the medicinal reasons that people use it.
Well, I don't, of course, that's the best bandwagon to get on, too. We have to look at it with some reality. There's pictures of this 20-year-old man who, for 20-year-old Michael Budzinski, the good days are when he doesn't suffer the terrible seizures that ruined his mind, leaving him with the mental capacity of an 18-month-old. On those days, this Eustace man isn't enduring migraines and his restless leg isn't thrashing. His mother, Marilyn, sees glimpses of the bright, fearless little boy she knew before he was devastated by Dravet syndrome, a severe and incurable form of epilepsy that targets children. And they're saying that this young man could get some comfort, not going to make him well, but get some comfort from medical marijuana, and apparently does at this point in time. Scenarios like that are a little bit different. And it sounds to me like if you're incapacitated and in a place where it can make you comfortable, I mean, that's why they use IVs of morphine to keep people propofol. When Mikey was in the induced coma to get him through the pain of having most of his skin burnt off, and morphine, and took morphine for the months to come. To help,
right.
I mean, there were places on his body that were still like melted lava pits on different places of his body, and they would hurt. And then when nerve endings came back, then there was itching and aching and all that kind of stuff that came with it. So they kept him very comfortable with all those drugs, and that's the reason why the scientists, the chemists, all these people have worked all these years. Cancer. I just lost a friend to cancer this past week. She had cancer 14 years ago. She was 71 years old. She still worked, still was very active person, and the cancer came back about 6 months ago, and it was very aggressive this time. And was in her, under her breasts and over her lungs and her trachea. And it started growing so rapidly that it was working its way out of her skin. Cancer is horrific, people. If you've not been through cancer with a loved one or with someone else, it is awful, awful, awful. So all of these things that we've come up with, that our great minds have come up with, are for this. The morphines and the mixture of heroin and morphine and all that kind of stuff that's out there, it wasn't to be abused. And marijuana started out being abused. Opium, many, many years ago, started out as something to keep people from, you know, just to relax them after a hard day of fighting with cowboys and Indians, right? So it all starts out with the right reason, but it doesn't stay there because we are always in search of the ultimate euphoria and instant gratification. It's just who we are. So I worry that if something like this becomes legal, you're not going to know who's straight and who's stoned. I mean, it could be a world of, oh my God, could you please get out of your own way? Have you ever seen anybody that's so stoned that they look like they couldn't move if you helped them put one foot in front of the other? I have. I don't know what world to be like. I really don't.
One of the worst side effects of, or effects, it's not a side effect, it's an effect. It's what marijuana does to the brain, and it's part of what I was talking about, the dysfunction it causes, is that people that use marijuana on a regular basis have terrible memories. They can't connect the dots. I always knew when my ex-husband was smoking pot because I would talk to him, and an hour later he wouldn't remember half our conversation. And then other times his memory was pretty good, and I could always tell when he was using and when he had stopped, because within a few days he would start acting a little bit more normal. But he had terrible issues with memory, and a couple of his friends that were really heavy-duty pot users had the same thing. They were very lethargic. They had no ambition. They just wanted to go through day-to-day, sit around, watch TV. It kind of makes you, like, not want to take action and just be a couch potato. It's very, very debilitating, you know, and it's because it relaxes you to the point of having, like, zero ambition for life, just going from day-to-day and just kind of, like, hanging out. And that's not living.
Well, I think that's kind of like not set in stone, that particular trait or that result of marijuana use. I think that is what we see the most of, for sure. Now, like I just said, I've seen people, I'm like, what else are you doing besides weed? Nothing. And I'll be like, how much did you smoke? I mean, you know, what are you, a chimney? So it's kind of like it depends on the person. I've also seen people that are so anxious and so high-strung that one joint gets them to a place where you can actually talk to them and they make some sense. So there are two sides, as usual, to every story. The problem I have with it is that, like everything else, like the pills, like the like everything that we have out there that we've designed for people, it'll be abused because we seem to be able to stop or control, I guess is the better word, control the feelings of wanting to feel better, of wanting to feel like we don't care what other people think of us. It's how we feel. We don't care that you think, you know, like if I'm standing out there, and that's like we talked the other day about drinking. Everybody sees themselves as when they're drinking or under the influence of a few bottles of beer or a few glasses of wine or a couple of screwdrivers, that they're more friendly, they're more outgoing, they're more fun to be around. That's what we think.
Right.
And you're not going to convince somebody that it's not true because that's how they actually explain to themselves, and I don't think that they do it on a level that they could tell you about, but they make excuses for themselves to the fact that, you know, you wouldn't like me when I'm sober. I've heard that 100 times. I'm no fun. I can't talk. I don't like socializing. If I have a couple drinks, I can, you know, I kidded with my kids the other night. We were talking, all my grandchildren, Graham, did you ever smoke weed? No. I did all my share of drinking, and there was a time in my life when I would guess, now looking back on, I didn't know it then, when it was out of control. And, I mean, I still always functioned, took care of the kids, did my job, worked 60 hours a week most of my life. I always functioned. But, yeah, there was a time when alcohol was too big a part of my life. But I always thought I was just a ball. And I surely thought I was a great singer when I was drunk. So, you know, and convincing somebody that they're not this person that they think they've become under the influence of anything is impossible. You can't.
Right.
So I do worry about that. There's a big sign on this website I just pulled up. Legalize cannabis. We are not criminals. I don't know. I'm going to be interested to see what kind of debate it is tonight. I wish I was, maybe something will happen during the course of today that I can be there, but there's two things that I'm supposed to do, and I haven't figured out how I'm going to do both of them yet, so this would be the third thing. But in Florida, where the Right to Medical Marijuana initiatives is underway, the Public Policy Polling Survey, geez, these sound like tongue twisters, support for medical marijuana ballot measure 62% with only 26 opposed and 12 undecided. So that's going to be kind of a landslide. The poll found support for medical marijuana among Democrats 68% and independents at 74%, while there wasn't majority support among Republicans. More Republicans supported medical marijuana than opposed it, but it's not as big a ratio. It's at 46%. So, and that's in Florida. Maryland has different numbers. All these different states that are talking about it at this point in time. But again, it has to be. I don't know that we need another reason. Even if it's just medical, of course, medical will get abused, and we won't, you know, people won't have any way to control it, is what I see, and what I fear will happen. So, but if it will make things better, of course I'm for it. But I don't see any proof that it's going to make anything better. I just. The money thing, the organization of less crime and stuff like that, but oxycodone is legal if you're sick enough to have it, and look what's happening with that.
Exactly.
Adderall, what we learned this week about Adderall, young kids that have been taking it since they were 7 and 8 years old for ADHD, and now they chew it because they know that it they have a more of a euphoria at a quicker pace if they chew the Adderall. So I don't know. I'm going to be interested to see what you find out. We're almost out of time, though, and I'm hoping tomorrow Joel Smith is going to be with us. He's the gentleman that we talked to in Fort Lauderdale who's been affiliated with the school district and has written some programs for some of our schools a little bit further south. Look forward to speaking with him today and getting that organized. And good luck tonight, Shell. I'll print off those tickets for you today. My computer is fine, and the printer worked last night to do some things for Valerie. So I'll
get that
done. So everybody have a great day today. I hope that those of you who have some input on this marijuana thing will let me know on Facebook if you don't want to call the show and talk about it. I'm interested to hear everybody's points of view as usual. So everybody have a great day. God bless. And it looks like it's going to be a fairly nice one. The sun is shining through the window this morning. So God bless and have a good one. Thanks, Shell.
talk to you in a little while.
Yeah, have a great day, Reen. I'll see you in a bit. Have a wonderful day, everyone.